그렇습니다.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We talked about today musculoskeletal radiology. Basically, radiology of the bone and soft tissue. You took part one of the lecture, So part one of this lecture will be talking about the imaging techniques, the modalities in musculoskeletal radiology. The same term, which is also called fluoroscopy, computer tomography, which is talked about CT scan, arthrography, which is X-ray contrast of the joint, and angiography, ultrasound, scintigraphy, and MRI. Part two of the lecture, which is going to be more of the homework and assignment for you, will be upper limb musculoskeletal anatomy on plain films and MRI, and lower limb musculoskeletal anatomy on MRI. The imaging techniques in orthopedic radiology, the use of radiological methods is evaluated in the presence, type, and extent of various bone, joint, and tissue abnormality. There are some indications and certain limitations. We'll be talking about appropriate imaging approach for each. Question always arises, which modality should I use for this particular problem, frequently asked by radiologists and orthopedic surgeons alike. Whether it's conventional radiograph or the choice of imaging technique that patient used by the conventional radiography is the most frequently used modality for evaluation of bone and joint disorder, and it's basically the plain film. And the radiologist should obtain at least two views of the bone involved at 90 degrees angles from each other, with each view including two adjacent joints. So this is an example of a AP and lateral view of the knee joint, of the femur, or knee joint. Femur is number 2, 3 is the patella, 4 is the medial condyle, and 1 is the lateral condyle, 5 is the tibial notches, and 6 is the tibia, and 7 is the fibula, and so on. Sometimes you need additional views because the AP and lateral will not be sufficient. An example for that is the cervical spine. With an AP view, you're getting the vertebral, the bodies, the intervertebral disc spaces, the posterior elements, and the spinous process. But what you're not getting is the intervertebral foramina. And we get that by getting an oblique view of the C-spine to look at the exiting nerves through the intervertebral foramina, which are these black holes. These are the intervertebral foramina. And by some osteophytes growing on these intervertebral foramina, they can cause pain for the patient. So if you know, you can diagnose the patient. Fluoroscopy is basically making a movie out of your x-rays. The easiest way for you to understand what is fluoroscopy and what's plain film on your digital camera, if it's a still image, that's the plain film. Click, finished. If you want to do fluoroscopy, it's continuous. You're pressing all the time to get a movie. And what that helps us in the human body is looking at various organs or doing procedures while looking at the anatomical part of the body. And I'll show you an example here. This is my needle going through the skin of the body, followed by the muscle, and into the bone, and into the fractured lumbar vertebra, which is here. You notice it's crushed as compared to the normal lumbar vertebra, which is more square shaped. After I introduce my needle under fluoroscopy, I inject some cement, which is healing the process of the fractured vertebra. CT scan is another modality that we use to diagnose problems in musculoskeletal radiology. The components of the CT scan is this donut-shaped X-ray source comes from here, and there are detectors beside each X-ray source. So with each section the body goes through, you get X-ray, and the X-ray coming back will go to the source and be analyzed by the process of the computer. Yeah. easiest way to understand a CT is a slice of a toast, and it basically cuts the toast into several sections to look at them. So the radiologist comes and takes a look at each film or each toast individually to understand what the CT does. But that helps us in musculoskeletal radiology, it helps in every body, part of the body, but specifically in bone radiology with intra-articular abnormalities and detection of small bony fragments. Such as this example here. This is a patient who has fracture in the pelvis. So this is a section in his femur head, acetabulum. This is the femur head and it's rounded. But all these small bony fragments are fractures that could have not been seen on the plain radiograph. This is the plain radiograph. And this is the femur dislocated in relation to the acetabulum. So you see how CT helps us in detecting fine, detailed anatomy and good, excellent contrast resolution. So what is the advantages of X-ray and this CT compared to the X-ray? Well, it has excellent contrast resolution. As you've seen in the previous example, you can see where the muscle is, you can see where the bone is, you can see the urinary bladder. So excellent contrast resolution. Measures the tissue coefficient factor, obtain transaxial views, as we mentioned, and the ability to reformat. All these slices of toast, you put them together and do a 3D format for your part, specific body part. The disadvantages is radiation. There is radiation included with it, and sometimes inability to make a specific diagnosis. What we use CT mostly in musculoskeletal radiology in tumors, because it delineates the extent of the tumor, such as this example here. This is the patient who's lying on his stomach. So this is the bed, and this is his back. This is his lungs, and this is his vertebral body. This is the vertebral body of T9. But surrounding it, there's this all of this soft tissue mass. So it delineates the extent of the tumor, sees if there's soft tissue extension, in which there is soft tissue extension, presence of calcification, and there is no presence of calcification. Plus, it helps us with performing a biopsy. This is my needle going through into the paravertebral soft tissue and taking a chunk out of the mass surrounding the vertebral body. So it helps us perform this procedure that otherwise, in the past, they needed to go for in surgery. Open up, patient has to be admitted twice for surgery. First time to do the biopsy, and a second time to do the curative surgery. So interventional musculoskeletal radiology helps us significantly in managing patients and making the procedures much easier on them. This is with local anesthetic and a 15 to 20 minute procedure compared to a 2 hour procedure in the OR, an admission that requires at least 3 to 4 days. Arthrography is injection of contrast inside the joint, and it can be used in any joint, and it's simple and advantage. It could be diagnostic, plus it could be therapeutic, such as this example here. This is, again, an AP view of the hip. This is the femur, pelvis. This is my needle going inside the hip joint and injecting contrast. You can also inject medication for the patient to help them relieve the pain if they are having osteoarthritic changes. Angiography can be used in musculoskeletal radiology, and it has many advantages, such as mapping out bone logic. Angiography is injection contrast inside the vessel. You'll have a separate lecture on that, but it can map out bone lesion and demonstrate the vascularity of the lesion. It can demonstrate the vascular supply of a tumor and locate the vessel suitable for preoperative intra-arterial chemotherapy and demonstrate the area suitable for open biopsy. I'll show you an example here. This patient has a mass in his femur, and it's metastatic mass from renal cell carcinoma. You notice it's a mass because it has increased vascular supply from the femoral artery, and all these blush is abnormal vessels containing the tumor cells. With certain types of glue or coil, you inject it and it kills the mass. Now, it's not a curative procedure, however, it is much, much a palliative procedure. Helps the surgeon prior to going in rather than grabbing a gush of blood to have a very bloodless operation. Ultrasound is also useful in musculoskeletal radiology, although rarely used. It is gaining more attention these days because of its advantages of being inexpensive. Ultrasound machine costs from 300 to 400,000 riyal, compared to CT, which costs 3 million riyal. It allows compassion to the abnormal side and to the normal side. Uses no irradiation associated with it. It's unlike CT and X-ray, which has radiation. It can be performed at the bedside and it is non-invasive. The applications of it, mainly the evaluation of the rotator cuff. You know what the rotator cuff is?
Yeah.
Shoulder. And it can be used in the tendons, such as the Achilles tendon. Everybody knows what the Achilles tendon is? In your ankle, right? Holds your muscles of the leg to your ankle joint. And evaluation of the infant hip in patients who have babies that have congenital dislocation of the hip. This is an example of what an ultrasound would look like. You place it on the shoulder, patient's shoulder, and you look, this is the bone, and this is the supraspinatus tendon inserting its place into the greater tuberosity. And you can do it in many sections to look at different muscles and tendons of the rotator cuff. Scintigraphy, which is called a bone scan, it can image the entire skeleton at once, and it provides an excellent metabolic picture. However, the pictures are not helpful in anatomically, but it can give you a function of what's happening. In this example here, we have a patient who has prostate cancer with all these very dark spots are metastases to the skeleton. So you notice that the metastases to the skeleton will be high in uptake on the bone scan. MRI is an excellent tool for evaluation of the musculoskeletal system. It is composed of a large machine, which is, again, donut shape, and it is the magnet, basically, and the RF coils, which transmit the... if there is no radiation associated with magnetic resonance. The way MRI function is by sending excitation waves to the body, to the hydrogen atoms, and the hydrogen atoms, which are plenty in the human body, as you all know, will excite, and then when they relax, the computer will detect these signals and transform it into images. And the best way to see the advantages of MRI is in patients who have knee injury, cruciate ligaments, isabat al-rabat al-salimi, and in this case here, the ACL should be here, and if it's not, it is absent and ruptured from an injury to the anterior cruciate ligament. It can help you also in non-traumatic conditions, which is this case here, where there is bony infarcts. And all these ring-shaped high-signal changes constitute bony infarct. It's also helpful in soft tissue tumors. This white area here is a soft tissue mass behind the knee, and it is proved to be a peripheral nerve sheath tumor. It also helps us with tumor composition. In this example here, the fat in the subcutaneous tissue is similar to the fat in the mass, which is here. And then after we suppress the fat, the mass is also suppressing. So what is the fat containing tumor?
Lipoma.
There are a few contraindications for MRI. Patients with pacemaker and cerebral aneurysm clips, and relative ones with claustrophobia. Everybody knows what claustrophobia is.
And they have a flavor.
To summarize, we talked about quickly the conventional radiographs, fluoroscopy, CT, angiography, ultrasound, and MRI. Part two of this lecture, everybody understands part one. Any questions would you like to ask? Yes, please.
Well, what's the difference between CT and MRI?
CT uses ionizing radiation, and as you saw, can obtain images only in a transaxial view, the toast concept, okay? MRI does not use ionizing radiation. Instead, it uses the magnet, which excites the hydrogen atom, and after they relax, they pick up the images. It can be transaxial, can be sagittal, can be coronal, any way you like it, multiplanar. In the musculoskeletal anatomy, I think this is a part of your homework. We'll go through it quickly, and just to leave you more time for you to read at home. I have made a quiz for each of you to go, do over at home, just look at the images, try to name the letters accordingly to the names of the on the images. So in this example here, the disc of clavicle, the coracoid, the clinoid, the humeral head, lesser tuberosity, acromion, and acromion. Now, MRI is a little bit more tougher, but nevertheless, it is easy. Just Google any MRI anatomy of the shoulder, MRI of anatomy of the knee, or use your atlas to help you try to locate these lesions, to locate these anatomical locations. So with this, I'll leave the rest for you, the upper and lower limb anatomy as an assignment for you to do at home. Any questions before we finish? Okay, thank you very much.
No.
Yes? And the attendance sheet should be finished.